Love that song. It's still the cross. Amen. What a blessing. Matthew chapter 13. Thank you, Sister Sandbeck. What a blessing. Matthew chapter 13. Let's stand together in honor of the reading of the Word of God. If you're physically able, and that baby hasn't fell asleep in your lap already, we got babies galore. And we wouldn't want to disturb them. Amen. They might disturb the saints. And what a blessing. Matthew chapter number 13. Began reading in verse number 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore spake I unto them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Verse number 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd bless the preaching of the Word of God. You've already blessed the song service, Lord. It's blessed my heart. It has strengthened and encouraged me. It's uplifted me. God, we come now to this moment where we open up the Word of God and we preach. Rightly divided truth. God, help us to be careful to preach the whole counsel from this pulpit. Not to cut corners, not to hold back, but to preach the Bible. God, I pray, Lord, you'd help us to make sure the gospel is always clearly heard here. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to preach with passion. Help us to preach with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray, Lord, that as we preach tonight, may the hearers receive that which you have prepared for them. God, I pray, Lord, that the flock would be fed, and you'd be glorified, and we give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. This parable is about the sower. If you notice verse 18, you can notice verse 3. And verse 3 says, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Verse 18, he says, Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. This parable is about the sower. I'm going to talk about that just for a second by way of introduction. Can I tell you that it's not about the seed? Because there's no issue with the seed. The seed is the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And there's no issue with the seed tonight. The seed is good seed. You can do nothing about the seed because there's nothing wrong with the seed. Nothing. Can I get an amen right there? The seed is good seed. And I'm convinced that the King James Bible is God's word to English speaking people. We can have a deep discussion about that at another point, but I will tell you this, regardless of what you believe about versions, you ought to at least believe you have the word of God. If you don't have confidence in that, then you need to go back and study the word of God. I'm confident that what I hold in my hand is the Word of God. I didn't say it contained the Word of God. I believe it is the Word of God. Listen, if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't preach. If I couldn't have any assurance of what was and what was not the actual Word of God, I wouldn't try to get up and pretend to tell you. But I'm here to tell you, there's nothing wrong with the seed tonight. It's incorruptible. God said in the book of Psalms multiple times that he preserved his word. He told us that his word was given by inspiration of God and is profitable for us today in doctrine, proof, instruction, correction, in righteousness. The reality is the word of God is still good. It's still quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the word of God. There's nothing wrong with the seed. I remember we would go out. Sometimes to plant, and Dad would go out to see where we had put up seed from the previous year, and we would check it to see if it hadn't mildewed and things hadn't happened to it. Sometimes it had to be prepared and sometimes it had to be thrown away. If it got wet and become a bunch of mush, or if it had sprouted and then died, and we had to chunk the seed. But I'm going to tell you something. We don't have to worry about the seed tonight. The seed is good seed. Aren't you glad for the Word of God tonight? The same word of God that gave you your faith. If you're a child of God, have faith in God. He said, faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It got good seed. This is not about the seed. The seed, there's nothing you can do about the seed. It's good seed. Amen. Secondly, it's not about the soil. There, as a sower, there is little or nothing that you can do about these soils that you see here. This parable is not about the soil. Now, I will say this, as you come back to this, and when you consider yourself as soil, you may want to listen to this. Him that hath an ear, let him hear. Amen. Him that hath an ear, let him hear. We need to not just be hearers, but we need to be doers. The Bible here, he talks about that for a stretch of these passages. He says, many people hear, they have ears, but they do not hear. They have eyes, but they do not see. They don't perceive it. And he said, they got a heart, but they don't understand it. So listen, when it comes to the preaching of the Word of God, and when it comes to reading the Word of God, you ought to make sure your soil is prepared. But that's not what this is about, because this is about the sower going forth to sow. It's not about the soil in this context. For you and I, as we talk about the sower and our job as a sower, by the way, if you're a child of God, you got a duty to sow.
Amen.
By the way, can I say this? You are sowing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, preacher, I haven't gone out and sown anything. Oh, my friend, you're sowing and you will reap
right. What
you have sown. Reaping's coming. You know, preacher, well, I haven't been out soul winning. Well, you'll reap that.
Right.
I haven't been out telling people about Jesus. You'll reap from that. Whatever it is you're sowing, you'll reap. Young people, don't be fooled. The devil will trick you into thinking you could do something, get away with it. The reality is, the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. You cannot get away with it. You will reap what, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There's a reaping day coming. You are sowing. But I'm going to tell you, if you're not intentionally sowing good things, you may be unintentionally sowing bad things. I do believe it's your child of God and you're walking in faith. You're sowing good stuff whether you know it or not. When you walk into the job and they say, how you doing? Say, well, I'm blessed. God's been good to me. Man, I'm telling you what, I'm so glad I'm saved. You may not even realize you're sowing, but you're sowing. Amen. You may be unintentionally sowing good things, but if you're not intentionally sowing good things, you may unintentionally be sowing bad things. You come in, oh, how was your weekend? It's just terrible. And they're sitting there going, I thought you went to church. I thought you went to Sunday school. Well, how can you have a bad weekend? You went to the house of God, right?
Yeah.
They may not say it to you. They're thinking it. You be careful about how you report in Monday morning. You be careful about how you get down in the mouth about life. Oh, my life is terrible, gloom and despair and agony on me. If it were not for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Be careful about that attitude, because you're sowing something into the field and it may not come up good. You will reap what you sow. You ought to walk in and say, you know what? It was a tough week. It's been a difficult valley, but I'm going to tell you something. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. All things work together for good for them that love him. I'm just going to keep loving him and trusting him and wait for the outcome.
Amen.
Amen. Oh my, that's our introduction, Brother Kevin. It ain't about the seed. The seed's good. Nothing wrong with the seed. It ain't about the soil. Most of the time there's nothing we can do about the soil unless we're talking about ourselves. But the Bible says, take heed, behold, listen to the parable of the sower. So we're gonna talk about the sower. Can I say this? The response of the soil is not your responsibility. The response of the soil is not your responsibility, but the releasing of the seed is your responsibility. What are you saying, preacher? Here, I'm telling you that as a sower, you're not responsible for the response of the soil, but you are responsible for the release of the seed. If I could title this tonight anything, I would title this Releasing the Seed. Releasing the Seed. You know what I believe? I believe a lot of God's people come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, come to Sunday school, might even come to the Bible Institute, might even come to different things that the church offers. And man, they come to ladies' fellowship, they come to men's prayer breakfast, and boy, they got all this seed, and then they just hang on to it. Do you know something? That seed will never spring up till you let it go. I want you to see three things as we look at this passage of Scripture, as we look at the sower and looking at the soil. We could talk about the soil. There's a lot of information about the soil. It'd be all right to preach on the soil tonight, but what I want to talk about tonight is the sower and releasing the seed. Number one, notice the rationale of the sower. Notice the rationale of the sower. Look what the Bible says in verse number 3. I mean, right off the bat, he opens up. He says, behold, a sower. Look at this word. What's the next word? Say it with me real loud if you got your Bible open. It's on the screen if you don't have a King James right there, just so you don't say the wrong word. You ready? Behold, a sower, say it with me, went. Now, come on now. Y'all going to wake up or you going to make me preach till you're awake? Hallelujah. A sower
went.
There you go. There's the rationale of the sower. You're not going to sow till you go. There is no sow till you go. You got to go. Amen. Got me a bag full of seed, preacher. I got me a rake, got me a hoe, I got me a plow, and boy, we're having a time in the barn. Well, you may look like a farmer and smell like a farmer, but if you don't go sow, come harvest, you're not going to look like one. Amen. The rationale of the sower, he went. The sower went forth. Notice where he went. Notice where he sowed. He sowed everywhere he went. Look at that. He went to a variety of places. The Bible says that he went by the wayside. This is the idea behind this is that he sowed as he went. That from the house to the field, he was throwing seed. I mean, he's going from the barn to the field. He sees a few places. You know what? Something's going to grow here. It might as well be corn. Something's going to grow here. It might as well be wheat. Something's going to grow here. And he'd throw out a little seed on the way. From the field, I don't know any farmers that do that, but in this story, this is how he did it. He sowed as he went. And by the way, as he was going by the way, that means you had a way, that's where you're going. You don't sow in the way, because if you do, one day you won't be able to go there. You don't sow in the way, you sow by the way. How many of y'all know that we're all on a way? There's a path in life you're on. If you sow seed right there, you're just going to trample it under your feet. But there's places on either side of you. Hey, when you're down at the marketplace and you're buying that 2-liter Diet Coke and the fixings for Nanner Pudding, there's somebody there by the way. Maybe somebody on the aisle, maybe somebody at the register, but there's somebody along the way. You can sow as you go. Not only did he sow by the way, the Bible here indicates that he sowed on his way, but he also sowed upon the stony ground. He sowed in hard places, hard to reach places, hard to reap places. But he sowed as he went. He was going somewhere particular. How many of y'all know he was going to the field? But he sowed as he went. Now, God, in this story, I don't know of a farmer who does this, but I'll tell you this. God said, I ain't talking about any normal farmer. I'm talking about a child of God with the eternal seed of the Word of God. You ought to throw it because you don't ever know where it's going to take a root. You may look at that situation and say, well, it'll never grow there. Look at that fella. Look how bizarre he looks. Why, he looks like he just walked off the front page of the National Geographic. I don't think I'll sow here. This is a little intimidating. I just don't think it'll do any good. My friend, it's not your job to decide where the seed will take and where it don't take. Hallelujah. You need to reach into your track rack. By the way, a pocket is a track rack on 2 feet. Somebody say amen. A pocket, say that with me. It's a track rack on 2 feet. You ought to have take some tracks on your way out and say, God, help me somewhere along the way to be a sower. And if I get the opportunity, I get the chance. Help me to put that. It may look like it. He went to the stony ground. It looked like nothing would grow there. And maybe nothing would. But he just didn't know that one of those seeds might find a place between the rocks. And it just might. You're a hard-looking case, but I'm going to do it anyway. By the way, my word shall not return void, but it shall do the work whereunto I have sent it. Hallelujah. I'm glad somebody sowed on my ground. I'll tell you this. I got saved after sitting through junior church a lot of years, and I can promise you this. This old boy never won quiet seat prize. Not only did I not win quiet seat prize, sometimes I had to sit in the bad seat. In our junior church, they had a seat up beside the preacher. And old brother Duke Etherton had a seat there for the kids who couldn't behave. And he'd pull you out of the crowd and put you in front of the crowd so he could keep an eye on you. And so you was within slapping distance, because in those days it wasn't illegal to slap. And he'd put me right there, and my dad told everybody in the church. I mean, he'd announce it regular. He'd get up and say, now listen, you ever see my kid behave, misbehave, and just give him a good whooping? Number one, Dad, I don't feel like you have much faith in me. Number two, I got no faith in them. Amen. They may not know when to let up or quit or stop, amen. He'd tell them all the time. But they'd pull us out of that crowd. Let me tell you, I was more interested in pulling the pigtail off a girl sitting in front of me. I was more interested in scrapping with the boy sitting across from me. And I was not a quiet seat prize winner. I was not a quiet seat prize winner. Let me tell you right now. I was ornery. I was a rascal. But I'm going to tell you something. Those folks just kept sowing the seed. And one day, 8 years old, laying on the bottom bunk in the back room on Rogers Lane, God got a hold of an 8-year-old boy's heart. And I couldn't take it anymore. I got up and ran down that hallway, ran in Mom and Daddy's room, knelt by the bed, turned a bed into an old-fashioned altar, and got born again. You don't ever know where that seed might land. Well, I used to take preachers over to Burke's Garden when they'd visit us in rural retreat. Burke's Garden is a unique place. It looks like a volcano. It looks like that you drive up into a volcano. They say it wasn't. They say that it was a mountain that had a gigantic cavern in the top of it. It had a limestone dome. And that at some point, that dome collapsed and makes it look like a volcano. But it looks just like a volcano. But when you get up to Burke's Garden, it's so fertile. It's so beautiful. The soil there is extremely rich. The reason they named it Burke's Garden was that during the Revolutionary War, some soldiers came up on it and traveled through it, and they stayed the night. And the cook's name was Burke. And he threw out the potato peelings before they left. And when they came back the next year, there was a field of potatoes on top of that place. It was so fertile. But I used to take preachers up there, and we would go the back way because the back way was on dirt roads, and it had a lot of saddleback, swayback roads. And, I mean, it'd make them sick and all kinds, but it was beautiful. And we would crest over that thing, and when you would crest from the backside, you could see the whole ring. And it was just unbelievable, unbelievable beauty. But when you would come in on that backside, there was a gigantic rock. I took pictures of it years ago. There was a gigantic rock. It was as long as one of these pews and really big. And it had a crack running through that rock. And the weirdest thing, the reason I took the picture, was in the middle of that crack was a great big tree. I mean, it came up and then it swelled out over the rock and it grew up. Great old big tree. I just imagine that little acorn hitting the ground and landing on a rock and saying, oh, great. This is the end of my life. All my other buddies landed on the ground. They'll get to grow up to be trees, but not me. I landed on a rock. I can just imagine a rainstorm coming and shifting that little acorn across the top of that rock and dumping it in that crack and saying, oh, great. Look where I'm at. I'm stuck in a valley forever. I'll never get out of here. There's very little sunlight. This is just terrible. But one day, One day there was enough sun and enough water washed off that rock that that little acorn cracked open and began to send down roots, and it found just enough ground to survive, just enough nutrients. And now there's a big old tree in the middle of a big old rock. And it looks weird, and it makes you scratch your head and say, how'd that happen? But I'm going to tell you something. That stuff's not our business. There's a God who's in charge of seed and trees and harvest, and you never know. You may throw it on what looks like a rock, and it may find a crevice in the heart that's broken, and it may find a place to take a root, and in that place you least likely expected it, you may very well have a fruit one day that you would have never dreamed. He went. If he never went, he'd have never sowed. He went in unusual places. He saw that he went on this thorny ground. He went to the thorny ground. He went to a place where there were thorns, but listen, it didn't stop him from sowing, even though there were thorns. It was a difficult place to reap. Wasn't going to be easy to come back and reap, but he was more interested in getting the seed out than he was in how easy it would be to reap. But boy, when he got where he was going, look here. If you look at this, there's some interesting conjunctions. I know you didn't expect to come to grammar class. Some fell on stony places. This is one of the longest. It says, and when the sun was come up, and some fell among thorns. He goes, and some fell by the wayside, and the fowls came. But when you get down to verse 8, he says, but other fell on good ground. My. I'm going to tell you, there's two ways to get good ground. You can do it like they did at Burke's Garden, right? God made good ground there. It's just good ground. It's just God made it that way. It was ready. When the seed falls, the potatoes come up. I mean, you just threw out the peelings and come back to a field of potatoes. But there's another way to get good ground. That's a cultivated ground. That's ground where the farmer said, man, this don't look so good, but you know what? If we'll put a little bit of, if we'll put a little peat in here and maybe we can spend a year or two and work on a compost pile, and we can spread that out and work that in, and we can till it up and weed it out and pull the rocks out and get the roots out and stop the weeds from growing, and he can cultivate. Let me tell you something, child of God. There's some places God may just make good ground. You may just throw it in and benefit from all the work that's been done. Sometimes God may send somebody before you, right? Paul said, Apollos watered and I planted, and God gave the increase. Some of it you may have to work yourself. You may have to work on that neighbor. You may have to help pull some rocks out of their life. But they got some doctrinal questions, some confusion about the Word of God, about who Jesus is, about religion, and about, they may be confused. You may have to help get some roots out. You may have to help remove some things. You may have to add some love and some grace. You may have to add some long suffering. Anybody been long suffering lately? Hallelujah. If you got some neighbors, you may have to be long. Some of those co-workers, you may have to suffer a while with them. But I'm going to tell you something. You can make a difference sometimes on the ground. When he got to the field, it wasn't an and, it was a but. He said, and, but some of it fell on good ground. Woo. My. So we see the rationale of the sower is that he went. If you don't go, you will not be able to sow. Number two is the routine of the sower. Not only did he go, but he went forth to sow. He's a sower. It's what he does. He sows. That's why he's called the sower, right? If he was the reaper, they wouldn't call him the sower. Amen? Yeah. If he was the eater, they don't call the eater the sower. And by the way, eaters make real bad reapers too. I went with a friend several years ago. They said, we want to take you to our, they'd always bring us a bucket of strawberries. And they said, we want to take you to a strawberry patch up on the side of my house. I said, man, I'd love to go, Brother Don. Let's go. Load up my truck with him, got up there. Hallelujah. I could not fill up a bucket of strawberries, saved my life. I tried, Brother Eric. I picked a lot of strawberries, but my bucket never did get full. By the time it get full, I thought, well, we need to make room for more. Amen. Hallelujah. Eaters do not make good reapers. Hallelujah. But reapers make good eaters. Reapers eat well. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. That good reaper will can it up, put it up. When it gets cold, nobody's got nothing. They got something. People like me just eat right out of the bucket, got nothing to show for it. Hallelujah. Listen, let me tell you something. He was called a sower because it's what he did. He sowed. He sowed. He didn't just go, he sowed. He was careful to be sure everywhere he went, he was sowing. Listen to what the Bible says about this. We notice the positions that he sowed in. All of the seed had one thing in common in our passage of Scripture. It all fell. Look at it. When he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. Some seed fell upon stony places. Some seed fell among the thorns, but other fell into good ground. Notice the positions of it. He was sowing everywhere he was going. Seed was falling everywhere he was going. You could almost hear him coming. You could hear him coming because you could hear those seed. You ever hear something strange? What is that? And you look out and it's something unusual happening. Something unusual happening. I was sitting in the backyard one time. We had a tree in the back corner of our yard, and the wind was blowing. It blew in Rural Retreat almost all the time. We were a weather apex there, and there was a steady breeze all the time. And the wind was blowing. I kept hearing thump, thump, thump. I thought, man, what is that? Who is that? Where is that coming from? After a while, I realized that it was a big old walnut tree, and they were ripe and ready. And every time the wind was blowing, walnuts was falling all on the ground all around me. When I was a kid in school, we could always tell when the principal was coming. The principal was my dad, and we could always tell he was coming. He had a real bad habit of jingling his keys. He'd walk down the hallway, and you could hear change in his pocket, keys in his pocket, and he'd be jingling his keys. He didn't even know that? Do you know that I told that story one night I was preaching a revival somewhere, and he came. I told that story how we could always tell. We'd always straighten up, sitting up, behave because we could hear the keys. We knew the keys meant the king was coming. Somebody say amen right there. We knew what the sound meant. We were like, whoa, straighten up, behave, get ready. He's coming. I could preach right there. I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And it's closer now than it's ever been. That had nothing to do with my sermon. It just felt like singing right there. We could hear his keys coming. You know, I told that in a service one night. My dad came to me and said, I can't believe that. He said, Brother Roy Gentry used to jangle his keys everywhere he went. It drove me crazy. Be careful. You never know what habit you have that the same habit drive you crazy. Anyways, listen, we could tell he was coming. We could hear him coming. You could hear the sower coming because you could hear the seed falling as he went. He sowed everywhere. It was always falling. Every one of those seeds fell. You won't read in the story about any seed that stayed in the bag. It may not have all fell in good places, but he didn't leave any seed in the bag. He was sowing. He was giving. He was putting it out there. We see the position, but now we also notice the prepositions. Again, I apologize for the grammar. I can't help myself sometimes. Look at these prepositions. Look at your Bible. Let the Word of God speak to you. Every Word of God is important. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 30, I believe it's verse 3, 4, and 5, he said, every Word of God is pure. And he said, you better not add or take away from my words. My, listen to what he said. Everyone, listen to these. Look at these prepositions. Some fell, look at verse 4, by. They fell by the wayside. He's going along. He threw it, and it fell next to the path he was on. Some fell upon stony place. Well, think about a stony place. Where's it going to go? It's just going to land on it. He threw it over on a rocky place, and it just kind of bounced, and it bounced around there, and it just stayed on it. Then look at the next preposition. The Bible says in verse 7, he said, some fell among the thorns. And the thorns sprung up and choked them. It was among them. But look at this preposition. The good ground places, it fell in two. It fell in two, the good ground. Well, that's a different preposition, isn't it? That's not by, that's not upon, and that's not among. It fell into the good ground. Into it. Well, you can tell it's good ground when the seed will go in it. Oh, my. See, notice the preposition. He was out sowing, and it was his routine that wherever he went, he sowed. Even if it didn't go in the best of places, he was not concerned about that. He was concerned about getting the seed out wherever he was. We need to be careful. It's not our job to decide who deserves seed and who doesn't deserve seed. It's just our job to sow the seed. Lastly, and with 1 minute left, the rationale of the sower, the routine of the sower. Look here, we see the results of the sower. I want to do this real quick, so you got to listen real quick, okay? I'm going to try not to preach it, Brother Eric. Preaching it is when I leave here and go off the grid. I'm just going to give you what's on my paper, okay? I'm going to try to do that. I'm not going to make any promises because I'm... Okay, here we go. The results of the sower. Listen to this. We see the wayside results. The fowl showed up and devoured it. He threw it by the way, and the birds came and carried it away. But I want you to notice something. There were no fowls there when the seed was sown. They came afterwards. Because no good sower would sow seed where the birds were. That's not sowing. That's called feeding the birds. Somebody help me right there. Oh, by the way, if you feed the birds, you may end up sowing. Have me a little bird feeder. I'm walking away. That's preaching, isn't it? I better get back over here. I had me a little bird feeder in the backyard one time, and I put all the bird feed in it, and there were these big birds who liked to dominate the bird feeder, and they kept the little birds away, but because of that, they were only interested in the big seeds. They only wanted the sunflower seeds, and all these little seeds would fall out. And you know what I had? I had sunflower seed plants, whatever those things are, growing underneath my bird feeder because I was feeding the birds, but I was sowing seed at the same time. But he wasn't interested in feeding birds. He was interested in sowing. He didn't sow when the birds were there. He sowed and the birds came. Can I tell you this? The bird is the enemy of the sower. And when you sow, don't be surprised when the devil shows up behind you and tries to root up what you've done. Don't be shocked. Don't be surprised. Just get you a good scarecrow and run him out of the field once in a while. Be careful because the enemy will show up in your field. And if you're not careful, you'll let him stay. Our job is to run the enemy off. Keep him off the seed. Oh, man, let me keep moving. It fell. Overtime. Stony, we got to work out something in the budget, fellas, where I get paid for overtime, and then I'd preach longer. Stony places. Sprang up. Sun came and scorched it. It had a lack of root, and it withered away. Again, the sower gave this seed the best chance he could by sowing it when the conditions were favorable, and while it was stony, he knew that there was some earth there, even though they had not much. Look at that phrase in your Bible. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. But he knew there was some earth there. And he gave it the best chance he could when the conditions were favorable, when the sun had not come out yet, the sun had not poured down its heat yet. He put it out, and then the sun came up. He gave it the best chance. You know what that means, child of God? There may be some people you're going to have to get up early to get to them. You may need to be paying close attention when's the best time to sow the seed in their life, to give that seed the best chance to get hold of what little earth there is. Think about when you're sowing. He gave it the best shot he could under the circumstances. Then he sowed among the thorns. Let's look at the results of the sower in the thorns. The thorns sprung up and choke the seed. End of story. Again, we see the sower sowed the seed at a time when the thorns had yet to spring up, giving those seeds the best chance they had to succeed. Boy, we'd be wise. You know the Bible says he that wins souls is wise. That doesn't mean he's wise because he wins souls. That means in order to accomplish that task, you're going to have to exercise some wisdom. He gave the seed the best chance he had. The thorns, he knew thorns grew there. If a farmer's on land, he knows what's growing everywhere. He'll say, over there's poison ivy. Over there's poison oak. Over here we got some sunflowers that'll come up. Over here we got some tomato plants. He knows what's growing everywhere on his farm. He sowed it while the thorns had not yet sprung up, giving the seed the best chance it had. And last, he sowed on good ground, and it brought forth fruit. Look at the results of the sower. Some of it came back 100-fold. Some of it came back 60-fold. And some of it came back 30-fold. But if you think about this, if he had sowed the seed evenly among the four locations, he would only needed a 5-fold return to profit from this venture. If he had sowed it evenly among the four fields, all he would have needed was a 5-fold return because he sowed in 5 places. He sowed in four places. The fifth crop would have been a profit to him. But boy, God blessed it, didn't he? God didn't just give him a fivefold return in some places. Hey, listen, he had some disappointing places where he sowed the seed and nothing came up. He had stony ground. He had thorns and birds. And he had a lot of failure, 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 failure. But he had some places where it came up 100-fold and 30-fold and 60-fold. And God blessed his effort and gave him a crop. Amen. My, don't. Quit sowing the seed. You say, well, preacher, I've sowed and sowed, and the thorns have come up, and I've sowed and sowed, and the birds won't stay away. I've sowed it. Just keep sowing. You don't know when God may give you a 100-fold crop. And by the way, when you get one that comes in 30-fold, 10-fold, 2-fold, if I get one come in 2-fold, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm not much of a farmer. If I can get one to come in 2-fold, hey, you know what you need to do? Rejoice and thank God for giving you a harvest. And keep sowing. Just keep. But you got to release it. If you don't release the seed, if you don't plant a seed, if you don't let it go, if you don't give the seed out, if you don't sow the seed, if you don't share a word of encouragement, a word from God, if you don't testify what God's done for you, how can you expect a bumper crop if we haven't sown? He that soweth sparingly reapeth sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully reapeth bountifully. I think that we're at a prime time for harvest in this community and in this country. You say, preacher, it's so dark. Preacher, the world seems to be messed up. I'm stunned. I'm absolutely stunned at the people who I read their comments and their feedback. Things that will be common sense. I'm amazed at how dark this world has become. But I tell you, it reminds me of the two shoe salesmen. They sent two shoe salesmen to an island. And when they got to that island, they got there and the one guy wrote back. He said, bring me home. This is a waste of my time. These people don't even wear shoes. And the other guy wrote a letter back. Said, send me a case, send me a pallet, send me a ship full of shoes. Nobody here has them. If we're not careful, we'll stand on the edge of our field and say, it's so dark, preacher. There's no hope, preacher. This country's messed up, and it is, and even the churches a lot of times are messed up. You may say, oh, it's so dark. There's no sense in throwing out the seed. Let me tell you something, friends. There's all these people. Send me a shipload of them. There's nobody's got shoes here. The field is white under harvest. There may be someone tonight, the very place you're going to swing in and get a banana split on your way home, there may be someone there who's hungry for Jesus and doesn't even know what they're hungry for. Field is white unto harvest. The other day I was reading an article after article after article of things that are wrong with our community. Heroin at an all-time high. Read an article that said the reason heroin's at an all-time high is they've made it harder for people to get the prescription drugs they need and they don't know where else to turn. Some of them are hooked on prescription pain pills and they can't get them that way anymore, and so they've turned to this thing. And I sat there and I said, I'm sick and tired of hearing this stuff. And God smote my heart. And he said, son, the field is wide unto harvest. They're hurting. They're empty. And they need Jesus. And you have the eternal, incorruptible seed of the Word of God. We need to release the seed. His rationale was he went. His routine was that he sowed as he went, and then he reaped. Let's release the seed in 2016. Let's share Jesus with people that we meet. Let's stop being ashamed and say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God tonight. Thank you for the challenge to our heart. Thank you for a people who would come out on a Sunday night and fill up these pews and hear the Word of God preached. God, I pray, Lord, that you will bless them and use them. Bless the Word of God, Lord, the seed that's sown in our heart. God, help it to take a root, to produce fruit. Lord, if there's somebody here tonight who doesn't know you as their Savior, God, I pray they'd come to you before it's everlasting too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together all over the auditorium.